and then you will see them smile for long.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with LA-based jazz stylist and songwriter Sylvia Brooks. We get into her new and sixth album called Soliloquy and her career in the world of acting and jazz. Her parents were both musicians and artists, so her world has always been shaped by performing and creativity. On this new project, it's rare that an eloquent jazz vocalist embarks on a lyrical odyssey that encompasses the wonders of life, the challenges, flat-out disappointments, and heartbreaks with such vivid descriptions and characterizations. It's comprised of four standards and four originals, informed by tales of obstacles, romance, triumphs, compassion, and beauty. It's the story of her artistic existence and more. We cover it all. Enjoy this interview. But let's get into the good stuff. Let's get into the music. Again, it's wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much for taking a minute out from Neon Jazz.
Thank you so much.
You bet. So before we get into your latest album and your career, I want to begin with this. 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing the world, especially for musicians. Mm-hmm. How did you get through that era, and how has it influenced the way that you create and work today?
Well, you know, I think what happened for me was I started writing more. I had very strong feelings about what was going on. And so, you know, the new record has four originals on it. And a lot of what's on the record, I think, came from a very deep place in me in terms of things that I was witnessing and things that I saw. And, you know, sometimes with art, it's hard to determine where the real seed comes from. You know, it's just something I know for me hits me deeply, and I don't really understand why, but I make a note and I say, okay, I have to write a song about this, or this is an interesting idea and I need to explore it further. So I think there was a lot of that that went on with me during the pandemic, where it was a lot more introspective in that way, you know, instead of just being out and socializing all the time. It really kind of grounded me in a funny kind of way. That makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does make sense. Absolutely. So let's get into your sixth recording, Soliloquy. Talk to me a little bit about what your vision, what your idea for this album was.
Well, originally I was going to call the album Broken, but then, you know, I got hijacked by Beautifully Broken, but that wasn't really the reason. You know, there's a song on the album called Lizzie's Dance, and it's about a little girl that's a part of a dance troupe at 8 years old, and she has Down syndrome. And I really didn't want to call the album Broken, because I didn't want her to be perceived as being broken. I think that, you know, the through line in this record is really about our humanity. And the things that we all share, you know, we're all different and we all come from different backgrounds, but we all basically have the same experiences, you know, trying to let someone deep into your life. You know, I'm kind of a poet. I call this album Lyric Jazz, which I don't know if you've heard of there is actually a term called Lyric Jazz.
Yeah.
And some of the, you know, some of the greats like Miles Davis and Charlie Parker, I mean, they talk about the fact that their playing was really more storytelling than it was, gymnastics, you know, sure. In terms of all of the various interesting things that a jazz musician can do. We have a lot of that in this record, but I think that I really wanted to lead with these stories and talk about, you know, like Temptation, which is not an original song. It really is about the part of us that when we make a deal with the devil, you know, and you can't get that part of yourself back. You know, we've all gone through that. We've all struggled with the idea of, you know, should I do this or should I not do this? If I do this, it'll make me more wealthy.
Right.
But how much of myself am I going to give up by doing that? Right. Uh-huh. So that's kind of the theme of the album throughout the work, is about our humanity and how we jostle with it, you know?
And I think that's really more under the spotlight now than ever before, as we mentioned kind of a little bit before we officially got on with AI and all of these things, the lunacy of the political nature in this country and how things are happening. So my question to you is this: ultimately, what are you hoping the audience gleans from the message and the ultimate aim of this album?
Well, I'm hoping that if people have the patience to listen to it, because some of the poetry within the writing, the lyrics within it are, I think, I've always been highly influenced by Leonard Cohen. I've always been highly influenced by the writings of Joni Mitchell. And it does lean poetic, but there are very deep stories within it, I think. And I'm hoping that when people listen to it, and hopefully listen to it more than once, and they really begin to understand what these songs are talking about, I'm hoping that it reaches down inside them and makes them feel something, and maybe makes them jostle with their own humanity,
Yeah. You know, the other thing too about what's going on in America right now is that I think about other periods of time where artists were kind of the social glue that held us together and made us feel connected, like there was community, from Baez to Dylan and all of those figures. And I'm wondering, as a creator right now, how much of presenting recorded music and live shows are you thinking about giving people in this country at this particular moment a level of feeling something other than the headlines and all of this clown show that we're dealing with? Is that something that's a part of the way that you're,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important, I think that I don't know, even know how to say it, but it's so important that people are able to feel authenticity. I think that's really important. I've always been kind of serious, I do have a funny little ditty on the album called Talk's a Good Game, but it still has a very dark message in it, which is it's about a womanizing man who lives this empty life because he's never really been able to come to terms with that part of himself. It goes from Soul Eyes, which is a song about letting someone in at the deepest levels of your soul, and the difficulties we all struggle with to do that. I have a lot of friends that are not married, that have never been married. And it's not easy. It's not easy being in a loving relationship and really trusting somebody in your core, and that, so it goes from Soul Eyes into Talk's a Good Game, which is about this guy who doesn't have any of that in his life. So I'm hoping that the album really resonates, that something somewhere in these tracks resonates with somebody,
Yeah.
because, art is really not about us. It's not about me. It's about the collective consciousness that we all have, and you have to obviously start with what affects you the deepest and then put it out there and hope that it affects everybody else,
Yep. Yep.
and sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but
Yeah.
that's the hope.
I always think about that character Jeff Goldblum played in The Big Chill. You know, he had the car and the freedom and all of that, but he was totally ravaged by emptiness and loneliness, you know,
Yes,
that
right.
notion.
And there is a lot of that going on in our society.
Yeah.
It's more rampant than ever now, particularly among young people. I mean, really young people, teenagers and early 20s, they're just lost in the world of digital artificiality, really, And I'm not saying there aren't good things about,
Sure.
AI and all of that, but it does become difficult to really determine what the truth is and what the truth isn't.
Yeah.
Because we're being fed a lot of different things that are not generated from, and luckily, I mean, this album, we recorded it live. All my musicians were there with me when we recorded. Nobody recorded and sent a track in. It wasn't mixed from another city. It was all right there.
Yes.
So I think, I hopefully the music has an intimacy to it because of that,
Well, I know during COVID, I listened to live albums in a very different, specific way because we weren't going to have it and we didn't know when we were going to have it.
Interesting.
So there was something that was special about that. Plus, also, especially with jazz, there's a different level of things that are happening when you're in a room and you're experiencing it. The air moves differently. Like, it's great to listen to Miles on an album, but I think sometimes how dreamy that would be to be in the room, to hear that trumpet undulate around your eardrums. It's like, and then the mood of the crowd, because most of the times he performed, the buzz in the crowd to see a legend like that, because he always was legendary. It's a different feeling. So let's go back to the beginnings of your career. Are you originally from LA?
I'm originally from Miami.
Okay.
I was born and raised in Miami, and I left when I finished high school. I did come out here because my parents divorced, and my mother moved out to Los Angeles, and she performed in showrooms. She was a singer. I'm kind of double cursed here because I my mother was an opera singer, and then when she divorced my father, she performed at the Catskills and the Poconos and the play she did the Playboy circuit back in the day. And my father was a jazz piano player, and so he stayed in Miami and she moved out here, and then I moved to New York. I'm a classically trained actor. I studied at ACT in San Francisco back in the day when it was really a great place to be. So I grew up reading Shakespeare and Ibsen and Shaw and Chekhov and all these great writers. And I was an honors student. I always had the ability to understand language and use language. And then I got to New York and I started working really hard on music. I started taking voice lessons and dance classes and had a major injury. Right when my career was about to hit there, I had just come back from doing Anita and West Side Story, and I tore the ACL in my right knee. I
Oh,
came
no.
down from the jump. And it was the end of it. The doctor said, "You'll never dance again." So I moved out here and did a little bit of TV, hated the work, hated television. And decided when my dad passed away, I decided to start singing jazz. That was about 15, 16 years ago. So I'm kind of a newbie at this. I mean, all the other jazz singers I know have been doing this for 25, 30 years, you know? So my mother started an opera company in Los Angeles. She produced six full seasons of opera here. It was the cursory to the LA Opera downtown. And my dad played in all of he was the first call pianist down in Miami for all the big hotels. So he played he traveled with Buddy Rich. He was on the road with Buddy Rich. He played with Stan Getz. So I kind of come from all of this,
Yeah.
you know. It's never been a question whether I could be an should be an artist or not. It's just always been part of me, you
Been
know?
implicit. It's interesting because I remember when I got into journalism, I wanted to be in sports broadcasting, and I saw that world of, like you said, television. And I'm like, ah. Open the door, and I'm like, I don't think so. But I never wanted to table that dream. And then getting into the jazz community and covering it via radio and interviews has been such a welcoming thing. And the reason why I bring that up is, knowing that you're going to be in this artistic world and a level of media, how refreshing was it to be in the jazz community, to be in the jazz community and feel the other side of that world? Has it been wonderful for you?
Absolutely. And I love musicians. I love people who create music. I mean, there's just a you know, I mean, I know that, not everybody is this way, but I'm a voting member of the Grammy Academy. And so, LA is the biggest chapter in the country. And I have a lot of friends that are independent artists that are out here. And we really support each other. It's a beautiful community, and I feel very fortunate to be a part of that, It takes a while to kind of work your way in, but once people get to know you, I mean, it's great. It's been good for me.
Yeah, it's like one of the best kept secrets of humanity. I feel like the jazz community embodies what humans, what we're told the highest caliber of being a human on this planet should be. And it's like the
Right.
higher up you go on the ladder, the more humble and grounded those masters are. And
That's
it's,
absolutely true.
you know, and then it's lending to the next generation. It's all of the things that were taught in kindergarten. Like when I thought about getting my master's degree, it was like, why the hell am I going to go get another degree of ungodly sums? Let me just retake kindergarten again. Because I think we lose all of the luster of those years of being explained how life works, and somehow these masters of this art form have figured out, because it transcends just being a musician, it's being a human, it's that whole thing. And I just feel like it's one of the best kept secrets. I always feel very fortunate to be able to cover this community because there are such stellar humans that are a part of it.
That's beautifully said, really. I agree
Yeah,
with you. Yeah.
it's great.
It's different with actors, you know. I mean, I think that if you have an actor, you know, if you do regional theater, the work is different than it is in TV, you
Yeah.
know. It's more collaborative, it's more like music. But TV is just an odd bird. You know, I think it's gotten a lot better
Sure.
with some of the shows now, you know, that are on. I mean, the writing, the directing is better. You there? You just froze up.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
you
here.
are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a blip.
You closed your eyes. I thought you fell asleep.
Yeah, no, I thought
Is
Hollywood.
it
No. I thought I think that like ASCAP or Hollywood came in and said, "Nope, we're not going to talk about this right now. We're freezing you up." No, I
kind of
totally
boring?
get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to your beginnings of seeing live music. What was the first live show, jazz or otherwise, that you saw that made you think, "Man, I love that. I want to do that one day." Okay.
My father would have rehearsals in the living room with his trio when I was like a toddler.
Wow.
You
That's
know?
that's wild. I remember interviewing Claire Fisher's son, and he would be at
Fred
his,
Fisher? Fred
yeah.
Fisher. Yeah, he's a part of our community out here. Yeah, we're good friends.
Okay,
Yes.
well, he told me one time about being down at his dad's feet and just like looking up at him and watching him play and seeing how his feet worked. And I'm like, that's just mind-blowing to think that. I mean, that's just a fabric of what you were used to. It's a part of your DNA. You don't think
Exactly.
about it the way that we think about it, but to be next to that and that to be a part of your world is like, it's stellar.
Right. And then I would go sometimes with my mother when I was little, when I was 7, 8 years old. I would go with her. I mean, she went to New York first, and you know, I would go with her to the Catskills, and she opened for Jimmy Durante, you know, and I would sit in the audience and watch her sing. So it's just always been so deeply embedded in me. And for some reason, I guess being a rebellious teenager, I decided not to go into music and to go into acting.
Right. Yeah.
And I was in a great class here with a lady named Ivana Chubbuck for many years. I mean, she coached everybody, you know, she coached Halle Berry and Monsters Ball and a lot of great performers, Charlize Theron. But I didn't feel like I belonged in that community. It just
Yeah.
didn't feel right to me, you know.
Yeah.
I like humility a little more than I like, you know, strutting around.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. There's a level, and God bless them all because they're all humans. There's
And I
just a
don't
level
mean
of,
that in a bad way. I
no, and
mean they're
I know,
amazing.
and that's why I'm trying
Yeah.
to say this in a tangentially kind way. There's a level of superficiality that if there's a depth to you that's different, that world is like, ah, man. Really? Like, it's almost like there's such a pretense. Like, and it doesn't take away from these people being great. I have no doubt that all of them have so many admirable qualities as a human, but there's still this
There's a
shine on the
difference.
apple.
There
And
is a
sometimes,
difference.
yeah,
Yes.
there's
You
just a
know,
difference.
and I've always felt that really good actors are plugged in because you have to be to bring that level of work. You know, but and I'm not putting actors down. I just didn't feel for me.
100%.
I wasn't ever really comfortable there, you know. So,
So let me ask you this.
yeah.
What is it that gets you up every day and motivates you to be in this world of jazz and being a performer and being a recording artist? What do you look forward to the most every day? Why do you love this?
Oh boy. That's a tough question,
Yeah.
believe it or not.
Yeah.
I just think it's in me. I mean, I don't know. You know, I get up and I just, you know, I hope that what I'm doing is reaching people, you know, and I need to write more than I write. I don't write enough, you know. I wrote four songs for this album, and my signature album had I think eight originals or seven originals on it. So I think my belated New Year's resolution would be to write more. But you know, I think sometimes it comes to you and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you see something and it affects you, and sometimes you don't. You know, it just depends on what's going on in your life and how open and receptive you are to receiving messages, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like there's an al a song on the album, A Letter to Sophie. It was inspired by Sophie Calais. I don't know if you know who she is. She's a famous French observation artist.
Okay.
And she observes that moment in time when a woman opens a letter from her lover and is rejected. And it's the actual moment of opening the letter. And I saw this exhibit and I was standing there for like 45 minutes and I was trying to understand why it was affecting me so deeply, which is something that didn't come to me. But I thought, okay, I don't care. I'm gonna write a song about this. So I ended up writing a song called A Letter to Sophie, which if you listen to the poetry, you'll hear that, you know, it's about her waiting for him in the hotel room and receiving this on a hotel napkin, this message from him that he can't see her anymore. So, you know, it's just stuff like that. So what do I look for? I look forward to getting up. I guess I had to figure that out. I look forward to getting up to find the next story, you know, to see the next piece of humanity that that is unexpected, right? That just you see something that kind of hits you, knocks you sideways, you know.
I get it. I totally get it. So let me ask you this. Everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everybody in a business sense, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Well, I try to be as honest as I can. I try to be kind to people. I think it's important to be kind. You know, I love creating. I'm very driven. I'm not real competitive, but I am driven to. You know, everybody says, well, you have more perseverance than anybody I've ever met. And it's true. I mean, I don't get down easily. I may end up having, you know, a dark day, but then the next day I wake up and it's like I rise like a phoenix because a new idea comes along or something like that. So, you know, I just think it's really important that we treat each other well. Life's
Yeah.
hard enough, you know.
I
I
get
just think don't be mean to people. Don't say hurtful things to people,
it.
you know, like just be kind. It shouldn't be that hard.
I know.
If for some reason it isn't, is it?
Yeah, certainly. So Soliloquy is the new album. If anybody wants to get a copy, they want to download it, they want to catch you live, any of the good business, where do they go?
Well, you can buy it on Spotify. My album, it's not released yet till June 5th.
Okay,
You
yes.
can stream the first three singles on Spotify or anywhere else because they've been pre-released. You can also buy it on my website. It'll be up on my website because I have a merch page on my website. I am an independent artist. I don't have a label. I did have a label and I left them. And I love being independent. So, yeah, so that's where it's at.
Okay, excellent. I will get all those links in the show notes. So great to meet you. Thank you so much for
So
taking a
really
minute out to
nice
speak
to
with me.
meet Domino. So you're Italian too, huh?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
That's
I'm in the club.
how
for sure.
Okay, yeah, nice to meet you.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in LA, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Sylvia for her time and story. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.